You're listening to Lambs Media, sponsored by onlysupernews.com. Lambs Media is proudly sponsored by onlysupernews.com, news to make you feel good.
Hello, good evening. For the second time tonight, actually, as you have just rightly pointed out in the chat, I forgot to press the button. And it wasn't until that a fellow Lambs Media colleague called me to say that we can't hear anything that I realised that I didn't start tonight's podcast and that I was in fact just talking to myself. So, good evening and welcome. I hope everyone is staying safe and staying well and also enjoying the sun. Apologies that we are slightly behind schedule this evening. I can only apologise. Tonight's episode will include an interview from ex-player Andy Burns, information about the Tamworth FC team builder, along with interviews from current player Aaron Ford and the first team analyst Hannah Freeman. As always, throughout the show, make sure that you're active on the chat, and if appropriate, I will give you a shout-out. I'm going to repeat some of these shout-outs again, because I did give you all a shout-out before, but we'll do it again so that you can hear it this time. Stuart, Stevie, Matt Hilton, Chloe, Emma, Andy Jones, Brian Hanslow, good evening to you all. I hope everyone is staying safe and well. It's a lovely day today. I hope you've all been out in the garden if you can. It's lovely. We start this evening then with continuing our Tamworth FC Legends series. So far we've heard from the H-Bombers, Mark Hallam and Warren Houghton, along with James Belshaw and Danny Newton. But this week, Emma Whitehouse has had the chance to chat with Andy Burns about his time before, after and at Tamworth FC.
Tonight I'm joined by former Tamworth fullback Andrew Burns. Good evening, Andrew. Thank you for joining me. I hope you and your family are well in these difficult times.
Good evening. Thanks for having me, firstly. And well as can be. Obviously a little bit, not much we can do at the minute with what's going on, but the main thing is everyone's safe, which is we are, so can't complain.
That's good. So you joined Tamworth back in 2015, spending three seasons at the club, playing 136 games. What was your football journey leading up to your time at the Lamb?
So like any kid, I started playing just Sunday League football, just local for a local team by mine, and it led to me playing for Heighton Boys, which was like kind of the area team at the time, and we managed to get to a final at Goodison Park, and I was lucky enough to be picked up by Bolton. I remember playing after playing at Goodison in the final. I was basically contacted by them and asked if I'd go down and trial. Obviously, for me, it was massive. It was something that I jumped at the chance to do. So yeah, went down and got signed by them. Ended up spending, it was 9 or 10 years there. Where yeah, I was very lucky. Probably received some of the best coaching that was around at that time. So yeah, that obviously helped me a lot. Ended up doing my scholarship there, and then didn't get a professional contract there. But after there, I moved to Bradford City, where I was fortunate enough to get my first professional contract. Again, something that I remember. It's obviously a proud moment for anyone who's growing up aspiring to be a professional footballer. When you actually sign your first contract, it's obviously massive. So I spent a year there, just managed to get myself on the bench. I remember it was a home game, there was about 10,000 fans there, and it was it was surreal, just being on the bench, being in and around the atmosphere. In the dressing room of obviously men's football first team, it was it was something that was, like I say, it was a very, very proud moment just being there the whole year. That the experience itself was something that I look back and treasure, to be honest. From Bradford, I moved to Dagenham and Redbridge, moved to London for a year, again just trying to find a breakthrough in basically the professional game. Ended up spending a lot of time out on loan because myself and it was important for me that I was playing. So I had to kind of find a level where I could find some game time and enjoy playing. And then after Dagenham, I was fortunate enough to get a contract at Barrow, which is where basically I see my career not kind of starting in a way, because it was where I started to get regular football experience, basically how important it is when you're playing, and the 3 points is basically it's like life or death, it's your livelihood, so that kind of started to build me as a player, and I spent the first season there, was a little bit of a struggle. We were mid-table. I remember there was loads of ups and downs. But then the second season, it was one of the highlights of my career so far, where we ended the season winning the league, winning the Conference North, and obviously getting promotion to the National League. Like I say, probably my best achievement in football so far. I was age of 21. Winning the league at such a young age, it was a great memory and a great feeling. Obviously, from Barrow, I ended up moving on to Tamworth, where I spent three seasons. I think it was 136 appearances I made. And again, I feel quite lucky that every club I've played for, they've all been great clubs and great people around the clubs, great people running the clubs. And I've been fortunate enough to be playing wherever I've gone, which is obviously massive for me. So to play all the games for Barrow, win the league with them, and then go on to Tamworth and make 136 appearances. When I look back now, I'm proud of what I've achieved with both clubs. And at the moment with Bala, obviously everything's going well at the minute. So hopefully I can continue that there.
Yeah, so you mentioned it's so important to be playing and enjoying it and really sort of enjoying your football. You mentioned there winning the league with Barrow at just 21, so that must have been massive for you at the time.
Yeah, definitely. Like I say, at such a young age, some people spend the whole career and don't win a thing. But you know, I've really long career, so when I look back now, I just feel like I'm quite lucky to be able to have experienced that, because I can't really describe the feeling. It's I honestly can't describe it. It's just unbelievable feeling to know that you've put all the hard work in and the reward at the end of it.
Yeah, it's definitely a special time.
Yeah, the closest I've probably come to getting that feeling again. It was recently with obviously Bala, where it's been confirmed that we've, you know, achieved Europe at the end of the season. Obviously, season didn't end the way we wanted it to, but that was our goal all along. And it's them type of moments that in years to come, hopefully many more years I've got left playing in me, but in years to come when I can't play, they're the moments I'm going to look back on and you know, want to relive them and treasure them. So
absolutely, some special moments there to remember. So you mentioned sort of during your time at Tamworth, differing fortunes whilst you're at the Lamb for the three seasons. So first season you were with us, you played every minute of every game during that season, and were part of the best defence in the league. We had a really good, solid defence that year. Going through the third season, obviously the disappointment of relegation. So how would you sum up your time at the Lamb with us at Tamworth?
It's a little bit of a roller coaster, to be honest. All kinds of mixed emotions. Some, you know, brilliant highs and some devastating lows as well. I think looking back on it now, it's probably mentally made me stronger. You know, it's no secret that the third season, obviously the relegation, that hit me quite hard, to be honest with you. It was devastating. Yeah. To feel like you've been part of something. To feel like you've been part of something like that happening is just knowing how many people, you know, it's going to affect. It's devastating, to be honest with you. It's the only way I can describe it. You know, at the time I was distraught. I remember like it was yesterday, to be honest with you. It probably lived with me for a long time. But the one thing I will say is, like, when I look back on it now, from although it's obviously happened and it's never going to be changed, when I look back at it now, I know that every time I played, I give my heart and soul and give everything that I had. And I think, you know, there's only so much you can control individually. Over the season, we weren't good enough as a team, as a collective. That year, and we were punished by no means should we have gone down. We went nowhere near a bottom three team that year, but for one reason or another, it just didn't work. And it's a learning curve, because sometimes that's the way football is. One minute you can be on a massive high, the next minute it's a kick in the teeth, and you're struggling, and your head's down, and you're basically devastated on either the back of a bad result or a bad season. But you just got to dust yourself down and go again. And you know, I was fortunate enough to be given the opportunity to join Ballard and kind of try and put that behind me and kick on. And yeah, that's what I've been trying to do. And yeah, and it's good to obviously see that Tamworth of this season have kicked on again. And you know, in my opinion, should be back now. They should be celebrating being back where they belong, or on the way to where they belong up the leagues.
Yeah, it's definitely a tough one to take. And I know a few of the players wanted to stay and sort of try and fight to get back up. But you mentioned there about Bala back in May 2018. You signed for Ballatown, new exciting adventure with the Welsh Premier League. And within weeks, you were flying out of the country to play in the Europa League. So what was that like for you as a bit of a... It was kind of like your first step into it, really, with Bala.
Yeah, again, it was kind of surreal just to experience that whole, like, you know, traveling away with the group and staying over. We went to San Marino, staying over there, and you know, preparing for what obviously a massive game. It was just a surreal experience, but again, something that I feel very fortunate to have been able to be part of, and hopefully once things get up and running again, I'll be able to be part of it again, which is again going to be special. But yeah, to go like that's what I was when I said before, you go from extreme highs to devastating lows. It's that I come off the back of obviously the biggest knock of my career, and then to be a couple of weeks later flying away to, you know, San Marino to be playing in the going to play in Europa League qualifiers. It's just one extreme to the other, but again, it's something. I had to pick myself up and crack on and go again, which is what I've been trying to do.
So obviously going into a new team, new league, not knowing much about it really. So obviously you've gone to Bala in 2018. So there's several of the Bala team who travelled down from Liverpool, and you're all part of quite a big car school that I'm aware of. So tell us about that, how you've settled into the team at Bala and life in the Welsh Premier League, how that's been for you.
It's been brilliant, to be honest with you. Just again, when I said before about I've been lucky enough to the clubs that I've actually been given the opportunity to play for, every single one of them have been, you know, it's easy for me to say this, but genuinely they have all been, the people in and around the clubs have all been top people, and that's no different at Bala. The group as a whole, it's probably one of the most together change, like as a group, as a whole, a club, like everyone kind of in it together type thing. It's the most together change room that I've been in for a while, and it's nice to be part of that. And it only feels like it's getting, you know, even more close-knit as we kind of, obviously, I've been there for two seasons now, and a lot of us have been there for that time too. So the more we gel together, I think it's shown on the pitch, especially this season. And that's testament to everyone at Bala. You know, as soon as I step through the door, you're made to feel incredibly welcome. You know yourself, when you've come down to visit, yeah, you know how welcoming everyone is there. And like I say, the lads in the changing room made it. I felt like I'd been there, you know, for ages. Went after a week or two, just from the San Marino trip, just seeing how together everyone was, and there was no like. There's no like groups. It's literally we everyone is together in it. So it was kind of, I didn't really have to do anything. Sometimes you can go to a new club, you'd be a little bit nervous because you don't know no one. People have been there longer than you, but it just kind of feels like whenever anyone new comes into the group, they just kind of slot right in, and that's just the kind of. Just the kind of like atmosphere and just the way the club is. It's just a welcoming place, and yeah. So like I say, I've been lucky enough to be there for 2 years now, and I'm enjoying it like as much as I have anywhere, to be honest with you.
Yeah, it's definitely a lovely family welcoming club down there. Very similar, like when we all say about Tamworth being a family club. It's so nice to have that lovely welcome and be able to settle in quite easily, so that's great. So your season has obviously recently finished, obviously just literally within the last week, so the league's been wound up now on the points per game system, so it's resulted in Bala finishing third and qualifying for Europe again, which is great. Whereas Tamworth season obviously was sort of wound up very quickly and deemed null and void. So what are your thoughts on how the leagues are being concluded, how different setups are being used in different leagues?
It's difficult. It's obviously the situation we find ourselves in is just how it's happened so quickly, and it's just crazy, to be honest with you. Personally, when I found out the decision over obviously Tamworth and what the league had decided, to say I was annoyed is an understatement, because I obviously still follow the results to see how they're doing. I've still, you know, from joining Tamworth, I've made some incredible friends, and I still speak to people at the club. you know, so I do still support them. I, you know, I'm always rooting for them, always wanting them to win every time I finish my game. I'll always check. I check for Barrow's results. I check for Tamworth's results. So to see that, basically, all the hard work and the good work that have been done to, like I say, rebuild and to get the club going back in the right direction, to see it all just kind of count for nothing, it was frustrating is the word I'll use. I didn't agree with it, to be honest with you. I think that success should be rewarded, but again, it's difficult. Yeah, I don't think there's ever going to be a solution where everyone's happy. There's always going to be whatever way they dealt with it. I think there was always going to be teams that felt hard done by. But I think the one thing that I will say is that seeing what Tamworth have done this year and you know the way the club are going in the right direction now, I think I've got no doubt that next year that if they'll continue that, and like I say, hopefully they start the season well and they have to win it next year. That's the only way they can do it, because I can't see it being changed. So, but I think with the squad that they've got now and the management that are in there, it just seems to be a good feel around the club at the minute. Like I say, I still speak to people from the club. It feels like there's a good, like I say, a good feeling around the club. So we've just got to keep that going, and I've got every faith that next year it'll be their year, even though I do believe that it should have been this year.
Yeah, we're all massively disappointed, but yeah, like you say, it'd be great to kick on next year and hopefully get that title. So you're still, obviously, you're working at Costa as manager of Costa Coffee. So like many, you've been spending the last few weeks at home. I know you've just recently gone back to work.
Yeah.
In one of the drive-throughs. So how have you been spending your time during lockdown?
It was a bit weird for me to go from being in work and then football to just nothing and just being in the house. It was tough. It was difficult because I'm used to be on the go all the time. So at the start of it, I just kind of decided to make myself a couple of goals. That one of them was that I was going to come out of it fitter than basically I feel like I've ever been, because one of the only things we could do is exercise. So just been doing loads of running, and to be honest, spending a little bit more time with my family, which I haven't had time to do for a while. You know, it's obviously difficult having a job and also having football. So it was nice in the sense that I got to spend more time with my family and yeah, so I like everyone else, I don't think there's an awful lot we could do, but I've kind of made the most of the time that I had. And to be honest with you, now, like you say, I'm back at work and I've been itching to get out the house for a while. So it's a welcome relief that I've been able to go back to work, and I just need the football to start again now. But yeah, obviously when it's safe to do so, because it's obviously the situation we find ourselves in. It's football's not as important as people's lives. So,
absolutely. Yeah, really important. But I think a lot of us have realised how much football plays a massive part in our lives, how much we miss it. So
definitely 100%. Yeah. I think whenever we can get it all going again, I think it'll a lot of things, not just football. I think a lot of things will be appreciated a lot more. That's certainly the case for me. I know I'm certain things I'm missing that you take for granted. So yeah, once we do get some kind of normality, I think we'll all appreciate things a little bit more. So I think that'll be a good thing to come out of it.
Absolutely. Well, Andrew, it's been great talking to you, and hopefully we'll perhaps see you down at the Lamb in the not too distant future once we can all get out and enjoy our beautiful game again. So all that remains for me is to say thank you for your time tonight, and we wish you well for the future.
Thank you, and thank you for having me as well.
And once again, a big thank you to Andy Burns and Emma for doing that interview for us this evening. Once again, I'd just like to apologise for the slight mishap at the top of tonight's show. I hope that Everyone can hear me, hear us now, and everything's working fine. As always, I'm just going to run through the different things which are currently going on across our social media outlets over the next couple of weeks. I've just posted all the links that you need to get access to everything. We've got the On This Day on our Twitter page, as always. We've also been hosting The Greatest Manager. We're now down to the last eight, the semi-final. The first one is taking place today, the second one tomorrow, and the final of that is on Sunday. Next week, next is the weekly quarantine quiz. Each week we've got 10 questions based on the club. It's week 10 of lockdown. Can you believe that? It's our 10th quiz, and the link for that is in the comments section below. Also on our YouTube channel on Saturday, we'll be streaming the Academy Development game to be confirmed what game that is, if you are interested. Plenty going on, as well as tuning into this podcast at 8 p.m. every Tuesday. And along with that, next month we're also introducing the Player of the Season voting, and I'll be able to bring you more information on that this time next week. So keep an eye on our social media outlets for more information on that. A few shout outs. Hi to Josh and Sarah, Matt Hilton, Kev Clark, BAM TFC, and anyone else listening in that wants a shout out, just pop your name in the chat. Behind the scenes at Tamworth FC, though, there's a great deal of work which goes on before and after the games. A crucial person that's involved in this and here to join us next is the first team analysis, Hannah Freeman. Hannah, thank you for joining us. I hope you and your family are well. Firstly, what have you had to do, like study-wise and sort of hobby-wise, to become the analyst for the football club?
So basically, firstly, I've just finished my degree in performance analysis at uni. So through that, there's been lots of work on looking at the techniques behind it, how you can do it, softwares and that kind of thing, because there's a lot of computer work behind it. I get a lot of soft skills with that as well. But also a lot of the work's sort of like gaining experience. I mean, so working, obviously I coach as well, so having that kind of coaching knowledge and background in football. But kind of, yeah, just kind of getting the hands-on experience, and a lot of it's practice, and yeah, just getting out there and having a go, really.
So what do you actually do then? Because I'm sure a lot of the fans are sort of intrigued to what the analysis role, you know, is at this level and the sort of roles that you carry out each week for the first team.
Yeah, so basically, obviously people don't see me around too much, normally working around in the background, but so I actually go and watch the opposition rather than being at our home games most of the time, and then from that put tactical analysis together and report of what, you know, how teams may play, that kind of thing, and then obviously feed that back to Andrew and Gary, and you know, getting it all, giving them you know, so we can then prepare for the next game and get us up and ready for that. Then also when we're, you know, so I'll do that for every single game, put a little like video and stuff together so that so that it's nice and interactive for the players and that, so it gets the message across, which is great.
Yeah.
And also looking at post-game stuff, so stats of the game, and getting, putting that with video so that each of the individuals and the team can, we can get feedback and progression and look where, you know, helping where things have maybe not gone right, where we can improve, that kind of thing. And I just want to mention on that, you know, big thanks to them, to yourself and Archie, the media team, for making that possible, obviously with you filming as well and working with me, which has been fantastic.
It's been a pleasure. It has been a great season. How do you feel as though the work that you do contributes towards the success?
So with like helping to provide that like kind of extra preparation towards the games, and also looking, you know, looking on the post afterwards and highlighting that areas that we need to improve, and by using, you know, by using the videos of the games and that kind of thing, it just helps to land that message with the players a little bit more, and obviously it'll helps the management, you know, it gives that support to aid the success and can really build upon what we've been doing and make sure that we're moving in the right direction, really.
Yeah, it's not just the first team that you work with either, though, is it? You do some other work with the club.
Yeah, so I started off with the Scholars. It'll be about 2 years ago now, and working with Mike's been fantastic, and really getting going, and then obviously Andrew wanted me on board with the first team as well, so yeah, it's sort of very similar kind of stuff for both setups, but mainly with the Scholars it's working on that post game and helping them improve, obviously as players, getting them that step higher hopefully, and get moving.
Great insight. So just to finish on then, Hannah, what are your sort of personal ambitions for the future, and how do you feel as though Tamworth Football Club has helped you with this?
So my personal ambitions is obviously to have a full-time role being an analyst. Ideally, my part of that would be there were separate roles within, I mean, clubs at the top are employing, you know, masses of different areas, so generally within that pre-game opposition analysis is what my preference, so that's the route that I would like to go down. I mean I'm undertaking hopefully taking a master's next year to help with that, but the work at Tamworth has been really, really good, giving me experience, like I said, in the field, but it's also really great. I've had a really great time in terms of so far, in terms of, you know, problem solving and the creativity that you have to do, because unfortunately performance analysis as a industry is not cheap. it isn't a cheap industry with softwares and stuff like that, but so it's being creative and coming up with solutions, obviously with limited budgets and non-league, and actually I think that's really developed me as an analyst, and kind of coming up with them solutions that we can to get the same, as high a level of results that we can. So, yeah.
Excellent. Really stuff. Excellent. Is there anything else you just wanted to add before we finish up?
Not really. Just it's really been a great season. I mean, it's been my first time working in non-league, and it's really opened my eyes to, you know, how great the whole experience is around it. So yeah, looking forward to more.
Excellent. Thank you for taking the time to speak to us, Hannah. I'm sure that the fans will actually appreciate hearing a little bit about the analysis role. The Tamworth FC Team Builder was set up around 8 years ago now, with the sort of initiative to provide the management team of the club with additional funds to develop the playing squad further, to push the team to the highest playing level possible. Their aim is to raise money each month through different formats. Obviously, this is a very challenging time at the minute for a lot of people, but the committee want to continue collecting money to make this available to the management team when football does return to the LAM. Here's what Andrew Damolition said about the importance of the Tamworth FC Team Builder.
Evening all, Andrew Damolition here. I hope that everyone's safe, supporters, fans. I hope that you're all well and that your families are well. And anyone in the vulnerable group, I hope that you're taking care of yourself and you're staying safe. I'm optimistic that with the restrictions sort of lessening, if you like, and the country starting to move again, that we're getting back to some normality slowly but surely. And hopefully that brings back with it football, and we can have another great season like last year or last season, whichever league we're in, whether that's in the Conference North or in the league that we was last year. What I will say last year is the importance of you, your fans, and team builder. Team builder gave us the opportunity to strengthen our squad. It gave us the opportunity to get in two or three extra quality but vital players for the season. Without that contribution and that effort and the commitment from team builder and ultimately your commitment as fans and supporters, we'd be sort of in a less fortunate position in terms of performance on the pitch and players available on the pitch, quality players as well at that. So I can't stress the importance that team builder did for us as a management team, for us as a squad and for us as a football club. And the difference of having two or three more quality players is paramount to a successful season in terms of squad size and performance. And you can imagine times in the year where we were stretched in terms of injuries, in terms of fatigue, because of the demanding physicalities of the league, but also the fixture schedule and the amount of games which we had, which I suppose is part of being successful as a football club. And to have that ability to have a strength and depth within the squad, which was assisted by team builder, I think it's phenomenal for a football club, and I think it's unique for a football club at our level. So the more continued help that we can get from team builder, I think that we'd be in a position to be a lot more successful, especially in a difficult time, which is obviously is relevant to a lot of football clubs around the country at our level, in non-league football especially, and even some of the higher non-leagues. So the assistance that we get from the supporters, the fans, in the form of team builder, and from team builder, this coming season is going to be even more important to the season that we're going to have in terms of performance and playing squad for Tamworth Football Club, and ultimately, we all want to see sort of good football, good players on match day, players what can excite. Players, you know, what have got a lot of substance, and I think that we had that last year in abundance. And like I said, and I'll stress again that the strength and depth that we had within this squad was, I heard that comment reiterated from the fans continuously last season, saying, oh, you know, the strength on the bench is amazing. We bring one player off and you bring another player off and you can't see any change. And again, that's the help of team builder and what it did for us, and I've got to commend everybody who's part of team builder and everybody who contributes to team builder, and like I've said, that for me that's unique, and that's what define them elements define you know, Tamworth Football Club for me, from being different from a lot of not only clubs, is that it's got a real family feel about it, and I just want to say thank you, and I'm grateful for team builder for giving me and us as a management team the opportunity to be more successful, and us as a club to be more successful, and obviously that was apparent last season in terms of our league position, in terms of our performances on the pitch, in terms of us being competitive on all fronts, having a good FA Cup run, being in a Birmingham Cup senior final, and I'm sure we would have got to the final and won the league, and it could have been a double. I can't stress sort of how important that is, and what the good old saying is, if it's not broken, then don't fix it. So if we can have that sort of same input and assistance from team builder this season, and you the fans will drive that, and supporters and the members of team builder will drive that, then I think that's, like I've said, it has value and importance and a bearing on how successful we're going to be on the pitch. So hopefully we can all support team builder, which in turn will support the football club, Tamworth Football Club, to be successful. I hope that everyone stays safe. I look forward to seeing you all soon. Hopefully between August and October, we'll be, if it's safe to do so, obviously, and and, you know, this virus is gone, that we'll be back out in our hundreds, hopefully thousands, and watching football again, and just enjoying our Saturdays amongst each other, with each other, and to see people smiling, and hopefully we can put some smiles back on faces with performances on the football pitch. I look forward to seeing you all. Take care in this time, and stay safe. Take care, and thanks for your time. Cheers. Bye-bye.
And there is a few different ways which you can get involved in Team Builder. First of all, if you head over to our website, you can, along the top bar, there's a Team Builder section. If you click on there, there's contact details for Brian and Clive. You can get in touch with them via the phone. As Andrew said, any donations to that will be greatly appreciated by the management team and the club. For our final interview this evening, I'm going to hand over to Kev Clark, who caught up with current player Aaron Ford about the last season and his work with Foundations for the Future.
Hi, Aaron, and thanks for joining us today. How are you keeping?
I'm all good, thank you. Thanks for having me. All good.
So you joined Tamworth last summer from league rivals Stourbridge, and then you promptly injured your wrist. But when you did get back in the side, you had a run of games. Now, how do you feel that the season actually panned out for you?
I think it was on a personal level, I think I had another decent season. I would have liked to have obviously scored more goals. I would have, and had a bit more to play with in terms of that. But in terms of performance-wise, I think I've done all right. I've done pretty well. Everyone knows what they're kind of getting with myself. I think I contributed to the team quite well when I came back, and I gave the guys something to think about, obviously, in terms of selection, as I missed quite a bit of the start of the season. I feel I was quite happy, really, in terms of how the season went. Obviously, we had a few little issues here and there, but that's nothing... nothing different from any other season, really. So yeah, I was on the whole pretty happy. I was very happy with how it had gone.
Lovely. Okay. Well, you are a midfielder, an attacking midfielder. Is that right? That's your preferred position.
I'd say all round. Yeah, attacking midfield, all round midfielder, centre mid, bang in the centre.
Mm. But you actually found yourself playing at right back quite often this season for the Lambs. Yeah. Fair to say that you don't enjoy playing in that position?
Yep, it is indeed. It's a case of, I wouldn't say that I don't enjoy it. At the end of the day, a game of football is a game of football, and I completely understand that. And yeah, part of me is happy that I've got a shirt, and I understand that concept. But at the same time, I've never been someone to settle, and go, oh well, I've got a shirt, so I'm happy. I like to try and be the best that I can be in my position or wherever I'm playing or whatever I'm doing. And it's no different with football and the positions on the pitch, really. And I just felt throughout the season that when I'd played centre midfield, I'd done very well. Everywhere I've been, it's always been a case of if I play well, then I play the next game. And that's always how it's kind of been. Whereas this year I've had to kind of learn that, or not really learn, but take it on the chin that that's not the way it was really going to be with in terms of the management here at Tamworth, and I just had to kind of get on with it. And obviously playing at right back at the times, it was frustrating. I think it all led from the Hereford game, I think it was. Darlington game in the FA Cup. Just had to fill in there. Obviously, Coxie at the time had left. Adam asked me to fill in there. I said, yeah, no problem, for the end of the game. And the next thing you know, I ended up locking the position down. And I just felt like, you know, I've got a lot more to bring at this level of football in centre midfield than I have at right back. That's kind of how it went, really.
Yeah, I think that's understandable. You know, the trouble is that you played very well at right back. Like you said, you locked that position down. So then the management have got a bit of a problem. That was a problem position for us all season. And with, like you say, Coxie leaving, and it puts them in a situation where they've got to decide on somebody to play in that position. There were other contenders, but you played there, as you said, and you did a great job. So it's difficult then for them to pick you in midfield when that weakens potentially the right back position. So I wouldn't want to be a manager, Aaron. I don't know about you.
No, I don't know. I don't think management's going to be my thing, but who knows? It might be.
Now, we had assembled a great squad at Tamworth this season, and it looked like we would go on to win the league had it gone to its conclusion. What do you think were the key ingredients that actually made that possible?
I think the recruitment, obviously, in the summer was good. The guys, the management team, obviously identified certain lads that they wanted to keep that was in the squad from the season before, the likes of Bears, Jazz, Joe Magunda, Tyrell, Waite, and, you know, the good lads. And they are the good players at this level of football, for this level of football, even the league above, let alone this level. So I think that was key for them. And then obviously the players that they brought in, were good lads at the end of the day. You had two lads, obviously, who had won the league from the season before in Snoop and Reese Honus, and from Kettering. But, you know, so there was a lot of experience there. There was myself, you know, Jordan Goff, who was obviously with you guys the season before. So I think there was a lot of experience, but also there was a good mixture, a good balance of youth, young lads who were eager to try, obviously, get a shirt and get involved, and a lot of experience. And I think, you know, with the attention to detail, to be fair, that Andrew puts into his sessions and into the game itself, I think it kind of just works hand in hand, really.
Yeah, so it's a case of everything coming together, really, not just having a talented group of players, but everything that makes that work.
Yeah, definitely. You know, there's, as I said, Andrew puts in a lot of, I know it's a joint management, but in terms of Andrew, he puts a lot of attention to detail into the football specific side of things. Obviously, Smudge gets amongst the lads and tries to G the lads up, but Andrew, just his attention to detail for this level of football, I'll give it him, to be fair, it's second to none. You know, you can't criticise him, even if, you know, sometimes you might think, well, yeah, this is a lot for a Tuesday evening or a Thursday evening. At the end of the day, the results are there and the proof is in the pudding. And I think with the lads then getting the results, everyone bought into that even more so, because you go in as much as, yeah, you're having to work hard and really focus when you're at the club. At the end of the day, we're getting the results on a Saturday and on a Tuesday, and that's what you're there for, and that's why you turn up, isn't it, at the end of the day? So when you're winning, you don't mind. So I think it was just a good collective push together that's kind of obviously led to the success that we had.
Sure. Aaron, you're 27 now, birthday just a few days ago, so many happy returns.
Thank you.
Now you're coming into the prime of your career. What ambitions do you have still within football?
I'd say I would like to. I need to win this league, to be fair. I've been at this league long enough now. And when I first come into non-league, I won the Midland Alliance. It was at the time, I think it's the Midland Football League now with Stratford. I won the league then below ours with Hales Owen. So, you know, I'd like to get this league, league winners medal for this league at some point. And the sooner rather the better. That's why obviously the ending of this season was even more frustrating. But to be fair, I just want to, as long as I keep enjoying it and I don't mind turning up, then I'm happy to, as long as I can just keep playing, God willing, I stay fit enough, because over the years, even when I was younger, I had a lot of injuries constantly in and out, knee operations and et cetera, you know, and it took its toll a little bit. So I'm just happy to be able to just get out of there and just obviously, one, earn a little bit of money that can contribute to my family and the life that I'm living, and also just go out there and enjoy myself and enjoy it while it lasts, because, as you know, you know, we don't realise at the time, but football's quite a short career, isn't it? And who knows, a couple of years now, I might not be able to play that. If that's the case, my body might say no. So as long as I can just keep playing and I'm still at a level that I can compete and feel that I'm one of the best players around in my position, then I'll be happy with that, really.
Yep. Okay. Well, moving on to things away from football a little bit now, Aaron. You do great work with the Foundations for the Future. Would you like to tell us a little bit more about that, how it started and what it involves?
Yeah, so basically, we're a youth support organisation. So we go out and support young people from the age of 5 through to 16 in any kind of way, really. We do sports sessions for the younger ages in schools, but a lot of our main remit of work is supporting young people through mentoring, awareness workshops around knife crime, guns, gangs, drugs, and just basically just a help service for young people. We are how it started when I come out of full-time football, when I was at Warsaw. I was about 18, I think I was, and I weren't doing nothing. I was just getting by, doing whatever I had to do to get by at the time, kind of a little bit lost with myself. And I started working for a coaching company through an apprenticeship, and just started doing a little bit of work there. Kind of got the experience and kind of learned about the industry, and I just kind of found a knack for working with kind of disengaged young people within the school setting, children that would be classed as naughty, let's say, in a sense. So I just started kind of doing PE sports sessions, and then kind of just helping the disengaged young people and that were there at the time, and just kind of one thing led to another. I kind of thought like I'd had enough in terms of working for that company, because the work that I was doing, as much as it was really rewarding, I felt like the company at the time was more about the finances rather than actually helping the young people. And bearing in mind where I grew up and the people I grew up with, there was a lot of different things out there for us to kind of get distracted with, let's say. And a few of my friends, unfortunately, they got locked up for murder at the time when I was 17. I didn't. It was just a little bit like I kind of got a little bit lost. So once I started working for that company, I just started realizing that these companies and this kind of the company I was working for, the education system was mainly to produce the best kids that they possibly can and not actually nurture to the needs. And it just kind of went from there, really. So I come away from there and decided that I was going to give something a go myself. And then once one thing led to another, and here we are now, three and a half, 4 years later. We've got the organisation. We work in over 20 schools across. We was working in over 20 schools across the city before, obviously, all this lockdown came about. And we just go around and we support you. We work with other organisations, who do similar work. So we try and to reach out to other people, like-minded people who are really about making a difference and trying to change the mentalities of how young people think. We are, and that's it really. That's kind of the short story of how it all started and where we are now.
Yeah, that's a great explanation. Thank you. If I can bring it back, finish off with bringing it back to football related now. What are your thoughts personally on the league and the FA decision to null and void the season at step 3 and below?
I think it's harsh, personally. I think it's really harsh. Obviously, I've seen a lot of people putting on, especially on Twitter and other social media outlets, that it's the only way that it could be done, it's the fairest way possible. And I get their points, but obviously, at the end of the day, a lot of teams, in my personal opinion, a lot of teams were where they were in the league for a reason. And it doesn't matter whether you just change your management or whatever, the club's in the position that they were in for a reason. And yeah, there was, how many was it, 8 games left or 9 games left or whatever there was. But, I think for us, we were over 75% of the season was completed. And I just don't think that it was right to just go, well, basically the season didn't happen, just to kind of fit in with the needs of, well, not fit in with the needs, but kind of work with and keep everyone happy in a sense, which I understand, there was never going to be able to keep everybody and every team and every club happy in that respect. And I completely understand that. And that's why it was such a difficult decision to be made. But I just don't, for me, it doesn't sit right that you've just completely null and voided a season and there's no outcome. I feel like there has to be an outcome to the season. Again, if we had played not even half the games or even 60% of the season and it was January, I could understand it, because there's a lot of football to be played, a lot of football and a lot of things that can happen. There is, but, with 8 or 9 games left or what, it might have been less, I don't know. I think it's very harsh for not just the teams in the top, at the top of the league, but just across the country, you know, as there's teams that I think was it Jersey Bulls or something like that, they were already promoted.
Already won promotion, yeah.
And then now they're like, oh no, it's all counted for nothing. And I just kind of don't see how they can come to that conclusion, really. Especially with in terms of the Premier League, obviously, and the Championship and how it filters down, everything's got to have a knock-on effect. It does, you know. It was tough to take at the time, but I don't think anyone was really and truly surprised by it, because let's be honest, as I've said, I've been very vocal of the FA on more than one occasion. I have, but the FA, the people who run the FA are not necessarily football understanding people, let's say the more business people, and they don't understand actually what gets put into the weekly work of a football club and a team. But you know, it is what it is at the end of the day, and I suppose you're just gonna have to get on with it and look forward to next season and go, well, it weren't a fluke last season, we'll do it next season whenever that is. So
whenever that is, indeed. Do you have particular sympathy for Ryan Bezic, Aaron, with the fact that his goal tally has kind of been, you know, expunged, and he's doubtful that he'll have a season like that again?
If I'm honest, no, I don't, because half of his goals were pens, and I said after he missed his pen, I feel like I should have been on pens. I've never missed one, so now I do, mate. Listen, he had a great season, didn't he, Bez?
Yeah,
and just in general, and obviously he scored a good few pens, a good few free kicks. I do feel for him a little bit, you know, but there's a lot of people at the end of the day, it's a team game, isn't it? And
yeah,
a lot of people have had good seasons. A lot of players have had good individual seasons, not just at Tamworth, but across the country, who potentially might have been looking at getting a move up into the Football League or whatever, and that might have been curtailed now. So, you know, it is what it is. And just got to make sure, again, Bez has got to prove next season now that it weren't all just a fluke, and he's got it in the locker this season, this next season coming as well.
Yeah, that's right. In the meantime, we've just got to make sure that we're all safe and well. Aaron, thank you very much for your time today talking to us, and we really appreciate it. Great getting your insight, and hopefully we'll see you before too long back down the Lamb.
Hopefully. Take care, guys. Thank you very much.
That interview does unfortunately bring us towards the end of this evening's show. I hope that everyone listening in has enjoyed the seventh of our weekly podcasts. A huge thank you to all of tonight's guests, Aaron Ford, Hannah Freeman, and also Andy Burns, and also Andrew Damnition for talking about the team builder. I do hope that everyone will come back and join us next week. If you've got any suggestions for next week's show, we're hoping to hear more from the backroom staff, more ex-Tamworth players, along with some more information about a commentary competition that we're hoping to launch. If you do have any suggestions, as I said, leave them in the comments section. On behalf of everyone at Tamworth FC, stay alert, stay safe, control the virus, and save lives. Thank you very much for listening.